Well, turn your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And thank you guys for, I feel appreciated, and that's a good feeling. I appreciate you all. I'd really, you know, I know I've said it before, and this is home to us, and you guys are family. And I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, but I feel more at home in Beeville, Texas than anywhere else. And I feel more at home with you guys than with anyone else. And that is a part of the Lord's work. That's what He does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. We're going to read through verse 9. And Paul's describing his ministry. You know, if you've been saved, you ought to have something in you that wants to minister to other people. And that is, that desire is the Holy Spirit of God. And so Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 has described his ministry in the first six verses and what it wasn't. Remember, we went through those seven or so things where he said, we didn't come to you vainly. We didn't come to you with deceit or uncleanness or guile or any of those things. That's not how we approached you. That wasn't the ministry, and that's not a ministry that bears any fruit. Now he's going to do the positive side of it. And just like mentioned before, like a battery, you got to have a positive and a negative, or else the thing doesn't work. And so he describes the negative first, and now he's going to describe the positive. And he describes the positive, and he breaks it down into a couple different parts. The ministry is a balanced, it requires a balanced approach. And it requires both masculine and feminine qualities. The qualities of a mother and the qualities of a father. And that's the way the Lord set it up at the beginning. He said he made them male and female. And he made them male and female because, you know, just making them male wouldn't encompass everything God is. So he made them male and female to encompass everything God is. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he describes the work and the affection and the ministry as a mother, how it looks as a mother. He says this, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Let's stop there, and I want to talk to you about ministry as a mother this morning. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning, and it's encouraging, and I've been encouraged and refreshed. And Lord, it is a blessing to be a pastor of a good church and of good people, and it is refreshing. And Father, I pray that I could do them service this morning to feed your flock. Pray that we would get from your words what we need to get. I pray you'd minimize distractions. You would help us understand what we need to understand about the ministry. And Lord, for those, I know there's several out that are sick, and I pray that you'd heal them up, you'd give them grace. And Father, I know they want to be here, but I pray that you'd get them healed up so they can come back. And thank you for everybody that is here. I pray that you'd nourish their souls today. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's given like I said, he's given the negatives in verses 1 through 6 about what the ministry's not. And now he's going to give the positives. And like I said, he breaks it down into mother and father. If you go on through verses 10 through 12 or so, he describes the work of a father and what a father, his strengths are. And, you know, one of the problems with our culture, the way it goes, when you destroy the lines and the way God created male and female, when you destroy that, people have no reference to understand things that we're about to read. When people have no reference, because there's some understanding that when Paul describes a mother, that you might have some understanding of what a mother looks like. When you destroy all that, people have there's no reference, and it reminds me of the verse in Psalms where he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, you can't build on it. And so there is a, I don't want to say a culture war, it's just the flesh doing what the flesh wants to do, and the spirit having no opportunity to work. And so, you know, if God had his way, let me say this way, if God had his way, every child would be born with a loving father and a father described in verses 10 and 11. And that child would also be born with a mother described in verses 7 through 9. And if God had his way, that would be the family, because that's the way God set it up, but that would be the family that every child in this world would be born into with a loving father, a loving mother. The father would do his part, the mother would do her part, and that child would have the best opportunity for fruitful life. However, as you know, God doesn't always get his way. I mean, eventually he's the judge, but more often than not, God's will is not done. We read about it this morning about Stephen. Stephen preaches to these Jewish leaders, and he says, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, meaning he's been trying to work with you, but you won't listen. And if you think God's will is done all the time, you have a messed up view of this world, and you have a messed up view of God. Because God, this world, is, the Bible describes a present evil world, and the reason it's evil is because God's will isn't done. The point is, God's desire is to have a loving mother, loving father, so that now you have a child that's brought into the world that has a balanced opportunity to grow and be fruitful. Now, if you don't start with that, you start with a disadvantage, and that's the way that is. You have no father to compare to, or you have no mother to compare to, and so when the Lord talks about a father or a mother, you may not know what he's talking about. In these verses, he's going to describe a mother. And he's going to describe a mother because those mothering qualities are required in ministry. And there's three of them that he describes in verses 7, 8, and 9. And the first one is this in verse 7. This is a quality of a mother. And not only is it a quality of a mother, it's the quality of a minister. I'll say this last thing before we get into it. The home is the proving ground for ministry. Paul said this, he said, if a man can't rule his home, things like that, he likened being an elder or a pastor to, first of all, what's going on in the home, because what's going on in the home will tell you a lot about what will go on in a church if that man was a pastor. So the home is a proving ground over and over in the Bible for ministry. And it's a simple thought. I mean, if you have children are your first ministry. Actually, your wife and your husband, that's a ministry. Your children are a ministry. And so God teaches ministry through the home, and he teaches about a minister's work, first of all, through a mother. Look in verse 7. The first thing I want to tell you about is a sweet spirit. It says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, that is like a nursing mother. is what he's describing. And there's a sweet spirit with that. And mom has a way with her children that dad does not have a way with his children. And it's just the way it is. Mom is connected to her children in a way dad is never going to be connected to his children. And because God sets it up male and female, and he, the full picture is seen in both those relationships. The first thing is gentleness. He says, we were gentle among you. So when Paul approached the Thessalonians, he was gentle among them. He was like a nursing mother. He took care of the Thessalonians. He treated them like a nursing mother would treat her child. And like I said, mom has got a way with children, with her children, in a way dad doesn't. I remember that verse in Proverbs where he says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It hurts mom. Mom carries a burden that dad doesn't necessarily carry. And so a child's trouble is a mother's trouble in a way that's not dad's trouble. And it just is that way. The child's trouble is a mother's trouble, and in a way it's not dad's trouble. You see multiple times in the Bible where mothers come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and boy, they are adamant about getting something done for their children. Remember the Canaanite woman with the daughter that's vexed with the devil, and you know the Lord says, you know, he doesn't say anything at first, and he just leaves her be. And she comes begging and begging and begging, and he says, you know, it's not meat to give bread to the dogs. And she says, but don't the dogs eat the crumbs off the table? And he says, wow, what great faith. And that is the faith of a mother. And the point is, ministry requires that gentleness. It requires that mothering spirit there. The Shunammite, her son dies. Her soul's vexed, and you guys probably remember that story there. Just over and over, there are mothers in the Bible. You got Lot's wife. I think about Lot's wife a lot. You know, the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. What does Lot's wife do? Well, Lot's wife, when they're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember what she does, she turns around and looks back. And I think a lot of that has to do with regret. Has to do with guilt. It has to do with what have I done wrong here? What can I do to fix this thing? But a mother's trouble is a mother's trouble in a way that it's not dad's trouble. By the same token, a mother has gentleness that often is not associated with dad. She's gentle with her son or daughter when they're baby. And the servant, the Bible says, the servant of the Lord must be gentle. Listen to this verse. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know what gentleness does? It allows people to grow. It gives people an opportunity to grow. You know, when you, as a mom, and I'm primarily talking to moms this morning because y'all can relate, and some of y'all could probably preach this better than I can preach it because it's about mothers. But gentleness allows children to grow. It allows them to grow the way they need to grow. You're not putting pressure on them, undue pressure on them. You allow people grow at a different rate, and it takes a lot of time. And I know we all fancy ourselves, probably some of us anyway, think we're very spiritual people, and you know we got the we're growing, and why can't these other people grow and all? You know, it just takes time for people to grow. And hey, not everybody's as spiritual as you are, so give them a chance to grow. I say that sarcastically. I mean, you're not as spiritual as you think you are. The point is, gentleness allows people to grow. When you plant a garden, It takes some nurture, it takes some care, and if that plant gets beat up in any way, it's probably going to die. It takes gentle care, just like a mother. And that is, the servant of the Lord must be gentle. Gentleness allows people to grow. It allows you to impart things that otherwise could not be imparted to people. I understand, and you can say this as much as you like to, that truth is truth, and people just need to recognize truth. The fact is, the way you say things has a lot to do with how people hear you. And the Bible says in Proverbs that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Meaning how you respond, your tone of voice, has a lot to do with whether anybody cares what you're saying or not. And so that gentle spirit allows you to impart things to people that otherwise may not be imparted. You know, you probably wouldn't be as apt to listen to me if as soon as you got out of your car, I was screaming in your face about something in the Bible. You probably wouldn't care what I was saying. And even if it was true, it wouldn't matter. But if I pray with you, and if we open the Bible together, if we've communed over that thing, if we've had fellowship and we're talking about that thing, you can get a lot more done with a gentle spirit than you can with a harsh, critical spirit. And so that mothering part of you, that gentleness, that's required in ministry. It's a sweet spirit is what it is. James says this, God's wisdom is gentle. You know, God could at any time, he could destroy what he wants to destroy, but you know, he puts up with us over and over and over again. And he puts up with sin, and he puts up with our faults, and he puts up with our failures. The Bible says this about the wisdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's a description of God's wisdom. It has a gentle spirit connected with it. You know, sometimes the pressure or the temptation as a dad, as a ministry pastor, as maybe a parent, sometimes the temptation to press too hard, to demand too much, to force progress. You know, you can't force progress. You can't force people to grow. You can't make things happen. It is a relationship of, if I'm trying to help you grow, that's going to be between you and the Lord. You can either grow, or you can either learn or not learn. The point is, you as a person, you can't force growth. Growth has to occur in its natural environment. Temptation can be to press too hard, to demand too much of people, to force progress, to orchestrate success. And that all leads to a work of the flesh, just carnal work. God's wisdom is gentle. And that is a characteristic of a mother. God's spirit is gentle. One of the fruits of the spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is gentleness. I remember reading, if you go back in Genesis, I won't take you there, but Jacob is running his flock, and they're moving forward, and I think he's talking to Esau, and he says, Esau says, "Well, come down here in a certain amount of time, and we'll meet up." And Jacob says, "Well, it's going to take longer than that, lest I overdrive the flock," meaning if I move too fast, I'm going to lose some of them. That is a gentle spirit that allows everyone to move together at one pace, so nobody gets hurt, nobody gets left behind, nobody gets taken by predators along the way. And he moves them little by little, and that is a great example of God's gentle spirit. You know, as a mother, a gentle spirit, you clean up messes. You clean up messes when the kids are in diapers, and you clean up messes, and you know what you do? You don't take the messes personally either. You change diapers, and you don't take that personally. I remember Bethany came home from the hospital, and she was tiny. When she came home, she was about 4 pounds something, 4.5 pounds. Yeah, she had got down to like 2 pounds something. She was tiny. I mean, I could literally, I think I got a picture of her like in my hand like this. Of course, now I can't do that with you, sissy. I couldn't hold you like that. But she was tiny. And I remember I'm sitting there and I had given her, boy, but she could eat, man. She could just eat. And I fed her a bottle. She's sitting on my knee there. I gave her a bottle. And over a period of about 20, 30 minutes, got another one because she downed a couple of them pretty quick. And so got another one. I'm feeding her just about done with that second bottle. And all of a sudden, bleh, everything we've done in the last 45 minutes is worthless. It's all on the ground. And of course, it's all on the ground, and she just looks up and she's like, so we clean it up. But you know what you do as mom, and you do that a lot more than dad does probably, but you clean up messes. Clean up people's messes, and you don't take those messes personally. And you have in the ministry, you have messes to clean up. You got stuff that has to be cleaned up. And it's very important in ministry that, and I'm not talking about pastoring. I'm talking about if you're a Christian, you're in ministry. But it's very important that you be careful not to take some of that stuff personally. You start taking it personal. I mean, even if it is personal, even if someone is directing it to you, you need to understand, Paul had a very good, he had the right view of all that. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You need to understand, even if they are making it personal, there's a bigger picture here at work. And you allowing it to become personal is going to affect how you minister to people. So he says, you need to be like a mother. A mother is gentle. She cleans up messes. She changes diapers. And all the time caring for her child. And not taking that stuff so personal. It's just goes with the territory. You know what goes with the territory with babies? Messes. It's just what goes with the territory. God's spirit is gentle. Gentleness often gets mistaken for weakness. You ever notice that? You find somebody's gentle and they don't respond with the hammer, and they don't come down with the axe, and you're thinking, boy, they could have chopped. He should just chop that head off right there. And they don't do that, and you think, man, that guy, he don't have any guts. I would say this. Gentleness is often mistaken for weakness, but it is not a form of weakness. It is a form of strength. When you can control your anger, when you can control your behavior, you can control your mind to say, you know what, we're going to not respond in kind, we're going to be gentle. You know what being gentle does? It allows the Lord to do some things. Sometimes you get ahead of God when you start trying to knock off heads. And you get so far out there, then God's like, you know what? You run your own deal. I'm not in this anymore. But gentleness allows the Lord to work. And I would say gentleness is not a form of weakness. Gentleness is a form of strength. There was a, when Rehoboam was king, one of the things that the old men told Rehoboam when he became king was, you need to treat these people better than you're treating them. You need to treat these people better than you're treating them. And Rehoboam said, okay, well, I could do that. And then he got counsel from the younger guys. And the younger guys said, you know what they said? They said, gentleness is weakness. If you don't put the hammer down on these people, they're going to think you're a wimp. And so he goes ahead and he puts the hammer down. And you know what he does? He destroys the kingdom. The older men were right. Gentleness allows for progress. It allows for growth. And gentleness is a form of strength. I think in our maybe our rough and rugged individualism, at least what we like to think of as individualism, we think of gentleness as weakness, being soft and spineless. But it's not so. It's gentleness includes qualities as strength under control, calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere. You know, when things are boiling over around you and you can keep calm and collected and move forward slowly, that's strength. That's not weakness. That's strength. Gentleness often gets mistaken for weakness, but it's not weakness. You think mom getting up in the middle of the night all the time and taking care of a baby and just doing it over and over and over and over and over and over again is a form of weakness? That ain't weakness. That's strength. That's a strength a lot of men don't have. That's strength. The Lord Jesus Christ is gentle. The Bible says there was a time when Jesus Christ sat over Jerusalem and he said this. He sat outside of Jerusalem and he looked at Jerusalem and he looked at the people of Jerusalem. He said this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus Christ said, I wanted to gather you up under me. I wanted to protect you. I wanted to take care of you, but you wouldn't have any of it. Jesus Christ is gentle. He himself is gentle. The Bible says this. David said this of the Lord. He said, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy," listen to this, "thy gentleness hath made me great." That's what David said. I learned how to be a shepherd. I learned how to shepherd people. I watched the Lord. I listened to the Lord. And that gentleness has allowed me to grow into a position that I'm now in. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. The disciples were arguing one time about who should be first in the kingdom. You guys probably remember this story. They're arguing about who should be first in the kingdom. Well, maybe I should sit on the right hand. Maybe I should sit on the right hand. The other one said, maybe I should sit on. And they're arguing about it. And then the Lord Jesus Christ takes a little baby, a little child, puts him in his lap, and he said, "You know, if you don't enter the kingdom of heaven as this child, ain't none of y'all coming in. I'm gentle." It's not a competition. Who can win out the other. We're not competing for this. You come in as a little child. Gentleness. The Lord Jesus Christ is gentle. And here's another one. Second thing is this in verse 8. After gentleness, the gentleness of a mother, he said, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." The second thing about a ministry as a mother is her sincere delight. Mom and mom's children are a part of her. Mom's children are a part of her in the way they're not a part of dad. And she treats her baby like she'd want to be treated. And so Paul said, when we came in among you, we made ourselves and you were a part of us and we were a part of you. That's ministry. That's ministry. I think about this morning. And honestly, this is my family. You guys are my family. And I feel like, and I believe, and I am a part of you, and you're a part of me. We're all a part of each other. And it's a part of the ministry. It's the mothering part of the ministry. You know, In verse 8, he says this, "Not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls." So you notice the gospel was half of the ministry. The gospel was part of it. The gospel was one half, and then imparting their own souls was the second half of that thing. And if you have good doctrine, if you have the gospel without the TLC to go with it, you have gospel, you have good doctrine, but no loving care there, it makes for an unhealthy ministry. Here's a mom whose only time spent with her children is in correcting them and instructing them, never giving of herself to them. You know what it makes for? It makes for unbalanced children. There's a good chance they won't know how to love others, become drill sergeants, or bitter towards the truth. What about TLC? What about tender loving care without the gospel? That makes for an unbalanced ministry as well. You got a mom whose only time spent with her children is bending over backwards to do everything for them. Time spent just playing games with them. There's no correcting or instructing. Good chance they'll be spoiled with tantrums and all that kind of stuff. I understand that goes with a lot of the territory. It's just the flesh in some cases. But, I mean, as a parent, you're obligated to do something about that stuff. That's why you're a parent. And that's why children are children. The point is, there's balance in that. There's good doctrine, there's the gospel, and then there's an imparting of yourself to them. Tender, loving care. There was a sincere delight. And when Paul showed up with the Thessalonians, not only did he preach to them, but he showed them that he cared for them. It wasn't just about giving them the truth. It was about giving them the truth and actually caring for them as well. It's a sincere delight. Point is, both the gospel, the good doctrine, and the loving care are both needed for healthy growth. They're both balanced. Put those things together. So he said, "We being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And like a mother, her children are a part of her, and she is a part of them. And then lastly is this about ministry. And you know, I'm saying all this stuff and with the assumption that you have some desire to be in ministry. I don't mean be a pastor or anything like that, but I mean if you're saved, you ought to have some desire to be ministering to people. And if you don't, either there's nothing going on there, there's no Spirit of God working there, or I don't know, are you saved or not saved? So when I'm preaching this and going through these verses, there is an assumption that you have some desire to be a help to somebody else. And not just be a help to them, but to guide them spiritually. To be a minister to them. The last thing is this in verse 9, the sacrificial life of a mother. Paul said this to the Thessalonians, "For ye remember," in verse 9, "for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." The sacrificial life of a mother. Boy, it is incredible. Some of the sacrifices mom makes. And even from childbirth on. I remember, I think I've told you guys the story when, I think it was when the twins were born. Was it? When I was in, which set? Refurio. Was it the girls? Okay. I remember I was at a rig, and Mary Beth calls me, and it's about, I don't know, 28 weeks? Yeah, it's way early to be having a child, you know. It's about 28 weeks, and I'm in a rig, and Mary Beth calls me, and she says, I'm headed to the hospital, I'm in labor. And I'm like, oh, man. And at that point in time, I'm thinking, my first thought is, how in the world does a mother pick up a child? Ben was only a year old. Take a child that's a year old in labor and drive herself to the hospital. And I told the guys at the rig, you know, what the situation was, and I'm gonna head home and head to the hospital and all that. Well, she drives herself to the hospital, and I get there, and Ben's sitting on the little bed there with Mary Beth. He's just eating Fruit Loops, just, yeah, this is great. and Mary Beth's there, and they end up doing the C-section, emergency C-section, and all that. It is incredible. The Bible says labor and travail a mother goes through for her children. You know, I can't begin to explain it as a dad. I couldn't tell you anything about it. Y'all moms know all about it. And maybe I should have one of y'all come up here and explain it. The point is, Paul said, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Paul worked hard in the ministry for those Thessalonians. He said day and night. You know what it is, day and night. Not only is it day and night waiting for the baby to be born, you know, you're sitting there, you go to the hospital, or you're just waiting, and you know that waiting, you're just waiting. Just waiting for something to happen, waiting for water to break, waiting for it all to start in motion there. And then you go labor and travail, the work, and then not only that, after the baby's born, up all night, up in the morning, feeding every couple hours. I remember when the I don't know how many, which set of twins it was. I guess it was the I think it was Sam and Megan, and we would sit up at night and feed the kid. That was like every 2 hours. You know, when you get twins, having one is one thing. Having two is just double that one thing. So you just make it twice as much. And so I would try to help Mary Beth as much as I could, because I'd be at the rig for 2 weeks and then come home for 2 weeks. And we'd set up, and remember we would sit up and watch. I think there was like a Twilight Zone marathon or something all night. And so we would sit there, and every 2 hours, get up, feed the kids, go back to bed for 2 hours, get up, feed the kids, go back to bed for 2 hours, get up, feed the kids. And, you know, I'm telling you, y'all know about all this stuff. The point is, it's labor and travail, laboring, he said, night and day. That's the work of a mother, laboring night and day. Paul said, that's what we did in the ministry for you. We labored night and day so we wouldn't be chargeable unto any of you. He was a diligent example. Spiritually speaking, Paul had given them everything he had. Prayer, preaching, being an example. When they couldn't support him in the ministry, he just went to work. The point was, ministry was the most important thing there. Moving the word of God along in people's lives, that was what was important. And however that continued to get accomplished, that was how it got accomplished. Paul was almost killed in Thessalonica. I mean, literally, labor and travail, he was almost killed. He was sacrificing himself for their benefit. And that is what a mom does. Sacrifices her body, sacrifices her mind, sacrifices her soul. Gives of herself. And Paul says, you know what, in ministry, that's what it takes. You give of yourself, just like a mom would give of herself for her nursing child. Sacrificial. I read a, and I'll end it up with this. I read a example or an article, survey, I guess. 120 pastors were asked how many had been led to the Lord by their mother. And out of the 120, 100 of them had been led to the Lord by their mom. Mom's influence on her children is incredible. But I would also add this. Mom's influence on God is incredible. Hannah prays and begs God for a child. And you know what God says? Yep. I'm going to do that. And Hannah says, I'm going to give this child to the Lord. And so she gives Samuel. And because of the prayers and the offering of a mother, a nation is directed in the right path. Hannah and Samuel. The lady with the daughter that was vexed of a devil, begging Jesus Christ, she finally gets the Lord to move in her direction. And he heals the daughter, but over and over, over and over. Not only a mom's effect on her children, but a mom's effect on the Lord is incredible. Sacrificial. God has given moms some things that he hadn't given dads, but when you step back and look in the ministry is both masculine and feminine, and it requires those things, and we'll look at the masculine things next week, but it's well balanced. And Paul is describing ministry as a mother here. And so in those three areas, the sweet spirit, the sacrificial nature of mom, the sincere delight she has for her children, all those things describe Paul's work among the Thessalonians, and furthermore describes what a healthy ministry looks like in action. As Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano, if you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. And if the Lord has done business with you, I would encourage you, come down to the altar and do business with him. If the Holy Spirit's ministered to you, come on down to the altar and do some business with the Lord. As Sam plays a little bit, the altar is open. And I would encourage you, if you need to come down and make a decision or get some things cleared up between you and the Lord, come on down. The altar's open. Come on down to the altar.